Welcome to the Accredited Investor Podcast, which you will learn from the world's leading experts, thought leaders, industry titans, and the who's who in business. This podcast provides diverse, high-level, and timely information for accredited investors and those looking to scale their business to the next level. I'm the host, Jonathan Tuttle, founder at Midwest Park Capital, a boutique mobile home park real estate fund, Revenue Send, a leading digital consulting and fractional CMO agency, Business Cash Out, a boutique M&A firm focused on service-based businesses, and a part of the founding team at Wowie Pop, a mood-enhancing kava beverage. This episode is sponsored by Prestige, the world's most exclusive social networking app. All links are in the show notes below. Enjoy the show. Please like, comment, and share this podcast with friends. Thanks for listening.
Well, welcome back to our Pro Athlete Interview Series, and this is brought to you by the Family Office Club. And today we're here with Tom. And Tom, how are you doing today?
Fantastic. Fantastic. Happy to be here.
Well, thank you for making the time. And as you probably know from some of our live events, we have about 75,000 registered investors. Well, about 7,500, actually. But we've hosted events all over the world for the last 17 years and have 12 million social media followers. And what we've been doing is at these live events, we've had pro athletes on stage, we've had doctors, private investors, billionaires, and we decided to go deep and actually see what it takes to become a top 1% performer. And we thought, how better to do that than invite someone like yourself to sort of come here and tell us about your mindset, investments that you're working on, visualization practices, affirmations, discipline, and not just things that maybe you're interested in, but things that you're actually doing. And so that's why we wanted to bring you here to sort of hear sort of naturally, practically from you, what you're currently doing and sort of how best to sort of put those things into practice ourselves and for our listeners.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I appreciate the intro. So Tom Clayton, former NFL athlete, I played for 7 years from 2007 to 2013. Mm-hmm. I was by the San Francisco 49ers back in 2007. I did a number of years there and ended up getting shipped over to the Patriots, right? And that would be in 2010. Mm-hmm. So I spent 2010 and 2011 here with the Patriots. Then I shifted off to the Seahawks. And then I bounced between the Browns and the Cardinals for about a year and a half and retired in 2013. Prior to that, I did get my real estate license prior to my last year with the Cardinals. So I unfortunately left there on an injury settlement. But that said, I'd already put in about 7 years. I'm like, you know what? I think it's time for chapter two, right? It's the next thing, right? So mm-hmm. I had gotten the real estate license and, was very happy with, you know, being able to achieve my dream, you know, being a pro athlete, fulfilling that, doing that for a number of years, playing with, you know, the best players you could think of, the Tom Brady's of the world, Rob Gronkowski, Marshawn, mm-hmm. like you name it. Like I played with those guys. Those are my guys, right? So I literally fulfilled that portion, was then ready to step into, you know, how could I be an asset to the community? Mm-hmm. Didn't necessarily realize it was going to be at the capacity that it became in real estate, but I did know that I wanted to have an impact and I'd gotten this real estate license. So I was like, let's travel down this path. So ended up, you know, obviously reading books and just trying to acquaint myself with the field, you know, playing 7 years, you know, in the NFL, I knew that, look, it takes a certain amount of commitment in order to, you know, catapult yourself to that elite level. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was totally into doing whatever was necessary. So again, reading the books, going online, just kind of trying to teach myself. And at this time in 2013, the real estate market was not very much determined, but as I could be the best way of, classifying it, right? You know, and some areas are more depressed than others. Some were beginning to thrive, but it was a really good time to learn a new craft because it gave me a little bit of space to make some mistakes and then kind of learn my way. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, ended up going to a real estate investing meeting in Boston and met a guy, you know, I'm playing with the Patriots. So I had a home in Foxborough. Okay. He actually having an office in Foxborough as well. So He asked me if I wanted to take up space there and learn the craft of real estate, right? And so went into his office, kind of started learning the lingo there. And within a couple of weeks, I had gotten my first opportunity at a project. Again, I had been reading books. I had been doing some studying online, but, you know, obviously, you know, didn't, you know, necessarily know the ins and outs until you get involved. So yeah. Anyhow, I went into it, had no prior experience, but had the grit and the grind to learn it as I went. And to sum it up, you know, we knocked out that first project, kind of took us a long time, but learned, the value of leverage right after that. And then, so we took the proceeds from that, bought three projects turned to 10, 10 turned to 20, 20 to 50, 100, and so on. And then, so it's just really started to scale, and the craft's been honed in. And so I'm now at a point where I'd be happy to, start sharing my real estate knowledge and also how I was able to achieve, success in an additional field after my prior.
No, I love that. And I think that's sort of why we want to do these interviews, is to just not only find out why you're successful then, but obviously you're able to be successful in a whole nother space now too. And so it's something where one time, maybe it's luck, but when you're doing it time and time again, it's things that you're doing. It's not just things that happen to you. And so that's why, we want to learn from you. And so that's why we have a couple questions here for you. And I guess one of them, and it could have changed, it could change from what you did back in the sports time versus what you're doing now in real estate. But what visualization or affirmation or goal setting rituals or strategies are you using to get you to be in that top 1%? Are you, is that something that's changed over time, or what are you practically doing right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say my prep, prior to, the NFL was a lot different than what it was post NFL. So I really had a significant transformation after I retired from the NFL, and, my ways of being, my ways of thinking, and the way of operating, did a complete 180, right? Literally transformed. And so because of that, all of, what I do today was started, immediately after I retired. I just shifted into a whole nother gear. So I'm a heavy meditator, right? Multiple times per day, right? So I'm really going within, really having that interconnection. And, I really feel like that sets my day, but also too sets my trajectory. So I'm heavily into the meditation. I have several affirmations, that I continuously, have just on repeat within myself, or either listen to, through my headset. So it's like a full life on commitment to my, to my new craft and my new way of being. So I'm completely invested in that. So those are two things that I could say for sure is the meditating, the visualization, things like that. Those are, the two things that I hold dearest, things that I do the most frequent, and I feel like have the most impact on, my career, as it stands today.
So can you walk us through, I guess, what you currently do for those meditation practices? Sure. Is it something just to calm your own mind? Are you focused on those goals, or what do you do that you found works for you?
So it's a combination of the two. So I do it immediately when I wake up, in the morning. And then I'll also do one at night for sure. Though those are fixed. And then, if I have the opportunity in the middle of the day, if I, want to just kind of release or just go within, I'll even do a meditation then. And so what that really is it's me, sitting down in a quiet place. Honestly, it's the same place. I've got a number of places at my house, so they do vary, but they are the same spot every single time.
Okay.
And really just silencing the mind, right? And then, there's a point where I feel like I access just like that higher mind portion of the meditation. Mm-hmm. And then from there, then I can start directing, well, first and foremost, I like to rehearse the day. So I'll review the day, right? I'll make corrections to the day, right? If there were some things that maybe could have gone different, maybe, or I could have responded better, I make those corrections then, right? And then so I put that into my subconscious, and then from there, I'm able to, perceive it as if it were corrected already. And then, so that's been very helpful as well. So the revision first, and then from revision, then I kind of go into what I call targeting. So there's certain things that are trajectories or areas that I'm seeking, right? So then I'm thinking of those things. And then by having that feeling of them while I'm in my meditation kind of makes the way. So there's a path that is then made, what's called the bridge of incidents. There's a favorite author of mine, Neville Goddard, who speaks about the bridge of incidents. But what it is once you, attach to it in the inner world, right, then there's a path that's made in the outer world, but you have to navigate the path, and navigating the path is based on your vibration, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're a high vibrational person, then you'll have these higher vibrational interactions as you trek through the path. So, so doing all this multiple times today, you can imagine, really, really gets the juices flowing. So, I'm all about that. And I would say for sure that those three things, they really are extremely impactful for me.
Okay. I love that. And how about what's a $1 million lesson that you've learned as a pro athlete that you can implement that sort of helps you get into this beast mode outside of sports? And obviously you started doing that while you still were in sports, where you're setting yourself up for success by sort of all right, what is my future after this? And maybe that came through with meditation, or maybe talked with your wife, or what you wanted for your own family. But what's like that $1 million lesson that you've learned or that you put into practice?
You know, have a plan and be more than willing to, you know, go beyond, like making the extraordinary ordinary, right? Like, I think, you know, as far as, you know, things that I saw while playing in the NFL, again, playing with Tom Brady, I think his prep is second to no one, right? And obviously it shows with the Super Bowls. Again, play with the two legitimate beast modes, Gronkowski and Marshawn Lynch, right? Mm-hmm. And one thing I remember about Marshawn is he would go out early. He would do footwork drills. He would do things that just kept him just like an inch above, right? And you know, that really stuck out to me. Gronkowski, those guys would be out after practice catching balls out of the machine or catching them with Tom, right? Like just putting in that extra. So when I transitioned, I was willing to do whatever, right? And that meant, you know, hanging 1,000 bandit signs or sending out 1,000 postcards, like just that true commitment, right? And I think when you do that, you get that momentum. And then once that momentum gets going, then that's when you get into the zone, as they call it, because, you know, now things slow down, right? Because the momentum is in your favor. And so I think preparation is really what gets that going. And I learned it from the best, you know, and I actually utilize it in my day-to-day now, my second life or my new career. And it works beyond magic. It's like, this is the way, right? Preparation.
I love that. And so what's something that you're doing right now, I guess, like what's something that you're sort of putting into practice? You're like, all right, I'm not going to make the same mistake again. And this is, you know, maybe it's more than 1 million at the rate and scale that you're doing. Like, what are you putting into practice now as you're revising some of those past actions?
No, absolutely. So, I mean, I say a past action, you know, that has been impactful for me in my new life, right, is, you know, honestly, not taking the extra steps then, where now it's commonplace for me to take those extra steps. A lot of, you know, in my younger years, you know, relying on your talent and not also knowing that there's more to being successful than just your talent, right? So rescue my NFL career, I learned that, right? Again, playing on these teams where I'm with, you know, with literally the greats and learning these type of things, you know, really has impacted me now in my second round of life, because now it's like I'm able to implement those things that I saw and do it at a very high magnitude. So, you know, for instance, I'm more of a, adaptive reuse developer. So I'll take, existing structures and I transform them into multifamily. Since, you know, gone on to do new construction, ground up, townhouses and apartments as well. But the way I tie that all in is like, you can't go from having no prior real estate experience to doing these extreme type projects without some preparation. Right. So I really feel like, you know, having the plan, even if it's like slightly outside your reach, which I think honestly is really what is the driving force for us. If it's something that we feel like is just right outside of our reach. But if you set that goal, like just have it be somewhat unrealistic, I think, and really just do the day to day, like working towards it. Right. Mm-hmm. I feel like then from there you get that momentum and you're able to just bring it into your reality. So I've really just honed in on doing that. And, you know, it's really, like I said, gone from, you know, no prior experience to, you know, on a trajectory, you know, over 100 million in real estate that we've been able to do within the last, you know, 5 to 7 years. So it's, you know, all of these things I speak of actually work. So
no, super impressive, obviously, on your accomplishments. And I guess, so what would be a huge costly mistake that you could sort of help prevent someone else from making? And it could be one that either, if you don't want to say something that you've made yourself, it could be something that you see other perhaps athletes make, or people when they're trying to make that transition, or maybe it's one that you personally made and it's like personally, you're like, oh man, I would never do this again. And this is why it's so painful. Like could you share something like that?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, one lesson, that I take from, when I played football before is not buying hard assets early enough, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, just because you don't wait to buy real estate, you buy real estate and you wait, right? So, the value is long term. And I think that, having a view of long term, I think would, you know, better set up athletes as they transition. You know, you got to have a vision for the future. A lot of us, obviously, we commit to the craft of, you know, being the best athlete that we can be. And, you know, obviously, there's no way to accomplish what we do at that level without that type of commitment. But there's also too having that element of knowing that there's more to, you know, life than just being an athlete. And so starting air, I think, is the key piece. So I would just say, you know, I've seen the lack of preparation. I'd say I was somewhat prepared just because I was, you know, thinking about life after football. But, and I've seen it. I have guys that I still communicate with that, you know, have somewhat sputtered out of their transition. I've seen others that thrive out of it, right? And I think a lot of it has to do with that preparation. And naturally, being around a certain tribe that elevates you and things of that nature, like naturally that would bring you up and whatnot. But, you know, I think having that plan and, you know, again, buying hard assets and things that will set you up for the future would be, you know, words of wisdom not shared to, you know, guys that are in that phase of transition.
And how, I guess for yourself, like, how did you find that tribe to surround yourself in? And just as you went to that real estate conference and you met that contact and you got that first in, like, what would you suggest if, let's say, all right, I know I'm still going to be playing for another year, maybe another 5 years. I'm looking at maybe this, I'm interested maybe in this. Like, how do you build that tribe around yourself that you can trust, rely on, and sort of build your future off of?
Being authentic, right? You track that tribe. And so that kind of goes into my meditation as well, right? Like, I'm meditating on just that, not so much, you know, meeting a specific person, but just meeting the person that's in vibration with, you know, my progression, you know, and then having all those pieces just come into place just, you know, naturally. And that's really what my meditation is about as well. So I'd lean on that, right? I'd say, you know, being able to have that understanding when I'm meditating does allow it to play out in the physical world. So I think having a connection and really, again, having a plan, I think is really how you bring things about.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And I think it kind of brings us to our last question too. And I feel like you've already touched on this a lot of sort of like, how did you become in that top 1%, right? How did you run circles around those while you were an athlete, while you're in the professional space? And we've talked about meditation, mindset, that preparation, finding the tribe to surround yourselves with. What are some other things that maybe, and maybe it's keeping the tribe around you, sort of keeping you accountable. And you talked about revising maybe actions that you chose in the past and what you're going to do now. But what are some other ways that are sort of like a little bit of a deeper dive to either hold you accountable or to sort of make it so that when you're putting in the work, you're putting in the right work? It's not just, all right, catching balls, but that's not how you're going to, like, let's say, score a touchdown if you can't work with a team or something.
No question. So I think it dials back to like that interconnection, right? So I'm heavy on writing things down, right? Mm-hmm. You write it down. Now, some people say put a date on it. Others say, you know, don't. But either way, you write it down because our minds have millions, trillions of thoughts, right? So it's, you know, a thought that is even a good idea is just that until it becomes written down. Then at that point, then it becomes like a target. Mm-hmm. And once it's a target, then you can kind of, you know, build a pathway to achieving it, right? So so heavy on the on that element, you know, really connecting from the inside on it. But give me that question one more time. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, it's just more of like, yeah. And once again, it might be that writing down, like, how are you practically putting these things into practice so you are running circles around those? And you've talked about it a lot, I think, on what you personally do. So you might have already covered it on a few of those things, but in case you had anything to add of sort of how you're running those circles around others to get into that beast mode and get in that top 1%.
No question. So writing it down, obviously, right, you're building a pipeline to it. Outside of that is, you know, working around people that are, you know, on the same page as you, right? So I've gone through, you know, I'm in construction, right? So I've gone through a number of contractors, right? But the ones that have stuck and the ones that are, you know, a part of the growth are the ones that are in vibration with me, right? Like, you know, like I know what the expectations from them, and likewise, I know what they're going to do. And likewise, so when you're in vibration with someone, it's a little easier to stay connected with them and continue to work with them. So I would say that, you know, just having a connection with those that are around you. I think that's big. Also too, I actually work with my wife, right? So that's something else that's quite special. So, you know, having that ability to bounce ideas off someone who actually knows what's going on, right? Like, you're on the same page, and, you know, working together. So, you know, I think that's a huge addition as well. You know, having someone in your household or someone really close to you that is in the know with what's going on with your day to day.
Yeah. And I'm sure you vibe with her very well. So how do you guys, like, you know, on the business side and professional side and, you know, personal side, like, how do you two actually work together? Because sometimes it is rare to work with, you know, your partner as you're working on these business side of things. So when you guys are planning or trying to, like, see what the future holds for you and your family and your business, what do you practically do? Like, what works for you? What have you found that works?
You know what, the roles, right? Like, she's got specific roles and tasks, and so do I, right? And then, you know, trust that each of us is going to take, you know, do our job, as Bill Belichick would say, do your job. So each we do our job, right? And we trust that our job is being done by the other. And so that gives a sense of relief in knowing that, hey, I don't need to be concerned about X, Y, and Z because I know those are being thoroughly taken care of. I'll put all my energy and focus on these items, right? And do my part. And then that way, collectively, we're making tremendous progress. And it's worked that way for 10 years, right?
That's so great.
Yeah. So I'd say that, right? Just having the roles and, you know, knowing when to delegate and then knowing when to, you know, do something yourself. But that's all a part of being a business owner, right? And knowing what tasks are your highest and best use. And I think that we've had a good balance of that. And I think that that's allowed us to, you know, obviously be successful.
I love that. How about this last question? What are you looking to put in practice this year? Like, what are your goals? What are you trying to achieve? And whether this happens or shifts, that's totally A-okay. But what's your current goal right now?
Yeah. So for 2024, you know, our target is, you know, over 100 million. And we're right there on the threshold. And, you know, I believe it'll be achieved before the end of the year. But that is for 2024.
Love it. Hey, I hope you surpass it. Thank you so much, Tom. I mean, loved having you on here. And once again, if you have anything you want to add, I mean, we can definitely follow up and stuff after, but thank you for taking the time and thank you for sharing a bit of your family with us. And it's much appreciated.
My pleasure. I was happy to be a part of this and look forward to chatting with you soon.
Thanks so much.
Hey, it's Jonathan. Make sure to download and listen weekly as I bring the top entrepreneurs sharing their best insights and timely information. Finally, I get people asking me to help them one-on-one. Yes, I can, but it's very limited. Go to revenueascend.com for fractional CMO and business consulting. For real estate investing, go to midwestparkcapital.com. And those looking to invest or sell their service-based business, go to businesscashout.com. All links are included below. Please like, comment, and share the Accredited Investor Podcast with your friends. Thanks for listening.